Good evening, family of God. It sounds like the rain is back, doesn't it? And a little bit of thunder with it. Yes, Mark is right. Of course, you know, Penny and I were aware that when we were up this way, there's a couple from chapel. They wanted to be married on today's date for a certain reason. And I think it was a good reason. And then, I don't know what time was it, 5:36, maybe later than that, Penny got a call that some other people may be chiming in with us, you know. And I thought, I was planning on just ad-libbing this. It's supposed to be very, very simple. So I was up to 11 o'clock sitting on the couch trying to do the wedding for today. But I think it worked out well. I think the Lord blessed it. And Mark and Regina, thank you all. I mean, you're taking care of us, feeding us, taking us into your home. And Penny and I look forward to coming back, God willing. And I really do like that Sunday and Tuesday, but especially when that Sunday is a Sunday when y'all eat after the services. I like that. So if we can work that in, that'd be great. That'd be great. It is a joy to be here. I mean that with, I wish I could say it in words that was actually convincing, but it's the truth. It's the truth. I have one thing I want to give you, then I'll get started in the message. And if you wish, you could go ahead and be turning to Psalm 76. That's where my text is. Excuse me. Psalm 76. Now, this is a quote by Thomas Watson. It's very brief, but I think it's just it's astounding. God's decree is the very pillar and basis on which the saints' perseverance depends. That decree ties the knot of adoption so fast that neither sin, death, nor hell can break it asunder. You know what? I'm glad for that. Because if I could be lost as a saved person, if I could be lost, I would be lost. If I could mess it up, I would mess it up. If I could fall away, I would fall away. Aren't you glad God keeps us? All right, Psalm 76. I just have one verse. One verse. Verse 10 of the 76th Psalm. This is what was written. Verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Now, title is found right in the verse itself. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Brothers and sisters, this is an astounding statement. It is a statement that when I was even in religion, it's a statement that even when I became a young preacher and read and studied, I read through the Bible, I don't know how many times, 21, 22 years old, whatever it was. I know I read this verse, but it evidently did just like that. Astounding. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath, that's whatever's left over that doesn't praise him, what's he going to do? Restrain it. Restrain it. This is a rich passage. Think of it. It's just 15 words in the King James Version. And yet it is abounding with truth concerning our sovereign God. Consider the word. First word. Surely. There is no debate. When God first saved me, and of course I was still a young preacher, but at least I had someone to preach then. I felt like somehow I needed to argue with people about the truth. And of course, most of them, many of them were willing, perfectly willing to argue back. We don't argue about this. You see, when God, what I'm saying, you don't have to be a theologian to be saved. And even after God saves you, you probably won't be a theologian. I've been preaching for a long time, and I do not consider myself a theologian. But as I have grown by God's grace, statements like this, just this one word, surely, stand out to me now. It kind of makes my ears and heart perk up. If this is a surely, then whatever he says after that, no need to debate it with somebody, is there? You proclaim it to them, you state it for what it is, and you leave it alone. No debate. Think of it. No philosophical gymnastics. A lot of preachers are doing that today. Philosophical gymnastics. No psychological mind games or musings. Surely. Now, why could the psalmist write this? Because the ruling person in this verse is God himself. Turn to Isaiah 46. Now, I know this, everything I will preach to you, I know you are familiar with. But you remember what Peter wrote? He said, putting you in remembrance. You know, it's not so much we forget these things. Now, we may forget about them for a moment, maybe get busy doing something or be at work and, you know, have to concentrate on your job. But we never really forget these things. But you know what does happen? They just kind of go to the back of our mind. And we don't really consider them. Think of it. Look at Isaiah 46, verse 8. Remember this. And show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind. You see it? Keep remembering this. Keep remembering this. Keep remembering this. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there is none else. I am God. And there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying. Now here is a statement from God himself through our brother Isaiah the prophet. My counsel shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure. That is not the God that's being preached in most places out here, is it? No. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. These places out here, they may quote that, but then they start to put qualifications on it. But look, calling a not sweet, not majestic, not beautiful, calling a ravenous bird. You see? Calling, now we know this is a figure of speech, though it's certainly true even in the animal kingdom. Our God rules over all. Jesus Christ himself says, not a sparrow falls without your Father. Now he didn't say without your Father's notice or knowledge, though that's certainly true, but it's deeper than that. Not a bird dies unless God says, dead. Dead. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Somebody that's not even familiar with him. From a far country. My brothers and sisters, our God manipulates human beings to accomplish his will. We'll see that, God willing, more here in a moment. But my far country, yea, I've spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Brothers and sisters, When I first began to hear of this years ago, it angered me. I said, God's not like that. Now I'm happy that God's like that. What changed? God? No. He changed me. Look. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. Here's the glory. I bring near my righteousness. See that? It's not go out there and get Jesus. He must come to you. The woman that came to the well, she didn't come to meet Jesus. Jesus went there to confront her path. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Now, it wasn't always so, but now that truth gives me peace, rest. Look at the 115th Psalm. Remember, surely there are some things that are sure in this world. And there's some things that are sure in this world that I don't know that they're sure, but they're sure. And there may be some things in this world that are unsure to me, but they're certainly not unsure to God. But look at the 115th Psalm. Look at what it says, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. How many times did I truly desire? I mean, it was just my life's goal to do something, but I had no power to bring it to pass. Our God controls everything. But we'll see, it's more than just He controls things. It's not that things are kind of going along and God has to jump into the scene every once in a while to get them going back to where He wants them to go. Whichever way they go, up, down, this side, that side, slantways, steel, or running, He decreed it before the world began. Decreed it. You're familiar with this, no doubt. Turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. And you're familiar. Look, listen, verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. Now here's the way God views all of humanity. In a general, overall sense, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as what? Nothing. It's one I think it's one prophet said we're like the drop in a bucket. You don't even take a paper towel to even wipe it out. It's insignificant. Like the small dust of the balance. But Nebuchadnezzar understood this now. He did not understand it before, because before Nebuchadnezzar was walking around and talking and doing this. Look what I've done. And God says, get ready, old boy. Watch what I'm about to do. And after God had brought Nebuchadnezzar down, Nebuchadnezzar is confessing. And listen, he's confessing not because some preacher merely taught him this. And he says, well, that sounds reasonable. That fits the Bible. He believed it because he'd went through it. He believed it because he'd went through it. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And what an astounding next statement. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. So you know what that lets us know? Here's an individual and he's walking in pride. And he just keeps walking in pride. And he just keeps walking in pride. And he just keeps walking in pride. And somebody says, what happened? Couldn't God stop him? No, God just wasn't pleased to stop him. You see, this is what this religious world not only does not believe, but they are being hoodwinked and tricked into thinking God is something other than who he really is. Those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. If he's pleased to bring me down, guess where I'm going? Down. And somebody says, well, there's just some people that's too proud. Down. That's why when I look at this word, surely, S-U-R-E-L-Y, it's because the ruling person is God himself. And here's the problem. If I reject this, if I hate this, if I deny this, I'm lost. I'm not suggesting that you have to be able to go out and explain this to other people so that they can at least academically understand what you're saying. That's not what I'm talking about. You don't even have to know these things to be saved. But this God must encounter you and bring you down if you're ever to be saved. Reject it, hate it, deny it. If I do that, if you do that, we're lost. Well, preacher, don't you believe that at least some people, they could hate election and predestination? No, because election and predestination are not just what God does. It's who he is. And to deny or hate or reject these things is to deny or hate or reject God. I mean, I've had people say to me something along the line, well, we're both Christians. We just believe different things. It can't work that way. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And the first person to be able to walk alongside of is not me. You don't have to walk alongside of me. It's Jesus Christ the Lord. Surely, but then the psalmist goes on, don't it? This is astounding. Surely, the wrath of man. Now, we're all creatures of wrath by nature. Paul's clear, and I'm not going to turn to it and read it, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, he says that we were all, just like everybody else, the elect by nature are just like those who are reprobate. And just a little scriptural truth lesson this morning. I used to say the non-elect. You ever said that? The elect and the non-elect. You know what we're trying to do, don't you? Make it a little more palatable. The Bible never calls them the non-elect. It calls them the reprobate. Rejected of God. But we were all the children of what? Wrath. I distinctly remember it. I thank God that I do remember it, but Penny, I don't want to keep dwelling on it. Kind of like we talked about. I remember it, but I remember when I first began to actually hear the gospel. It began to hit home, as we say. I remember becoming so angry. That cannot be it. That cannot be the truth. The problem's not with God. The problem is with me. Me. As a matter of fact, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, verse 7 and 8, I'm going to turn there. You can turn later and look at it. We are all haters of God. And we refuse subjection to His law by nature. You want to know how to get a human being to do something? Tell them not to. Just tell them not to. You want to know how to get a human being not to do something? Just tell them the opposite. Henry Mahan said one time, preaching in a little old church back up in the hall up near Beckley, West Virginia, and the folks that he was preaching to, they were more of the Pentecostal ilk. And the man had asked Henry to come preach, and Henry did, and Henry had invited by Pastor Earl Cochran to, you know, preach with him, a little bit of backup, you know, for the situation. Big old Ten Commandments over on the wall. You know what's wrong? There ain't nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. Not at all. The Ten Commandments are good if a man uses them what? Lawfully. For the right reason, for the right use. But Henry pointed at those Ten Commandments and said, the law makes man more rebellious. Not because there's a fault with the law, but because the fault lies down here. Think about it. Here's a dead animal hit on the road. And most everybody, when you're passing by, you may get just a little of that rancidness. But it's really hot, and traffic is slow, and your air conditions broke down, and you got to roll the window. You just can't bear it. And you got to roll the windows down, and you're just easing along. And it's hot. That sun's coming down. It's baking that carcass. Right? Here's a thought. Is it the sun's fault? Is it the sun's fault? No, it's the rotting carcass. And yet, that's what men do by nature. They actually try to blame God for their own rebellion. Rolf Barnard, or at least Henry told the story. I think he was talking about Rolf Barnard. But anyways, either Henry or Rolf Barnard once said someone came to them and said, your God's a monster. And whether Rolf or Henry, whichever one it was, he said, well then, okay. Prepare to meet a monster. Think about it. By nature, we even hate the Christ of God. Now turn with me turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And remember, I know that I am not trying to teach anyone anything this morning. You've been taught these things here for years. John chapter 3. You know what? Yes, John chapter 3. I'm sorry. Listen to verse 19. John 3. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, what's that next phrase? Hateth the light. But here's the problem with our depravity. We hate Christ, we don't even know it. We can convince ourselves we're a lover of Christ. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be, and a good word here is exposed. We don't even want, by nature, we don't even want our deeds exposed. If I have never tasted this foul corruption, I'm lost. I'm lost. You know, this world is filled with people that they go about their everyday lives and they're fairly decent folk. You know, they're not out stealing, molesting kids. They're honest with their neighbors. They try to go to work and try to give a decent day's work for their pay. And they don't cuss. They don't swear. They don't steal. And they decide, you know, I need to go to church. I need to be a part of God. And they come to church and they make a profession of faith and they're baptized and they go on in their morality and their decency. and they actually think that human decency will be accepted by a thrice holy God. And the natural mind cannot, you know, if this is good, if the Shriners Crippled Children's Hospital is a good thing, and it is amongst men, don't you get me wrong. I mean, I watch those commercials and my heart goes out to those parents and those children. And I thank God for people that work in those positions and support those positions. But they earn no merit before God. But my flesh says that cannot be true. But it is. But it is. Now, but think about it. Surely the wrath of man, it's just like a crescendo upon crescendo. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. That is astounding. Scripture will show this far better than my explanation of it. According to Moses in Genesis 50, we're not going to turn there, but you could read it in verses 19 and 20. God ordains men's wrath to even accomplish his goodness. Joseph's brothers, 10 of them at least, Joseph's brothers wanted him dead. They hated him so much they wanted him dead. They wanted to murder him. And God moved one of them to bring it to a stop, the oldest. He said, no, we're not going to do that. But then they schemed and connived. What'd they do? Put him down in the pit, remember? But you know what? I am taking a little artistic license. There was a caravan that maybe had decided, well, we need to go down here and do some trading, and they may have been traveling for weeks. Maybe before the dastardly deed of Joseph's brethren even began. And all of a sudden, all right, horsey, let's go that way. And it just happened to be that they passed right by. Huh? And you know the account of Joseph, all of the things that Joseph went through. And Joseph, when he was finally revealed to his brother, said, what you did to me, you meant it for evil. And it was evil. They could not be excused for it. But thank God they could be forgiven of it. Isn't that a good thing? You see, sin can never be excused. It can only be forgiven. But sin cannot be forgiven by God apart from a just payment for that sin. Joseph said, you meant it for good, but God meant it. You see, that's the words he used. He didn't say God turned it for good, God used it for good. He said God meant it for good. God meant for those boys to do exactly what they do. What do you have to do? Just lift his restraint just a little. And yet when he lifts his restraint, he still is confining every move in that wrath to where it does not go outside the line and thwart the purpose of God. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Think of this. God uses man's wrath and he overthrows men in their wrath to his name's glory. That's exactly what Moses was sent in to tell Pharaoh. Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Why? To bring you all the way down. And here's the thing. He didn't do him like he did Nebuchadnezzar and lift him back up, did he? When God brought Pharaoh down, what did he do? He left him down. And it was a real down. Dead at the bottom of the Red Sea. And God meant it. You see, when I was in religion, especially in Sunday school, you know, little fellas, they talked about the 10 plagues. how God was sent Moses down to deliver the children of Israel and the 10 plagues, and how finally on the 10th one, Pharaoh let them go. But they taught us as if God tried with the first one, but it didn't work. And God tried with the second one, it didn't work. And God tried with the third, but finally, God, I guess, was thinking himself, finally on the 10th one, it worked. Oh, no. The 10th one was to be the one that delivered the children of Israel. All the others were just to teach Pharaoh a lesson. Guess what, Pharaoh? I do as I will among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Think about this. God turns a man's wrath to fall even on his own head. You remember Haman, don't you? And his wrath toward Mordecai. He was having a gallows built to have Mordecai hanged. And guess who ended up being hanged on the gallows? Haman did. Because God hedged everything in. And even men's wrath is there to what? Praise him. Think about it. Listen to me now. God disposes of all things as he wills. Look at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Verse 5, Isaiah 45. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. Look at it. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Now here it is. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work, he hath no hands? Listen to me. Judas Iscariot was exactly where God Almighty purposed for him to be. Judas Iscariot had great advantage. Judas Iscariot was given great space to see the truth. But he didn't have a choice. Why? Because God made him do something evil? No, because he was so evil down in there, he couldn't help himself. That boggles my mind. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll read it either, verses 3 through 11, but there's one statement about God that Paul makes there, that he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Having, another phrase, having predestinated all things. I had my preacher, he was not much of a pastor. When I was in religion, and I'm not going to say I was saved. I don't know, but things were starting to convict me. Some things were starting to stand out in the scripture. He and I were sitting on one of the pews, and most everybody had left, and his name was Fred. I said, Fred, God knows who's going to be saved, right? He said, oh yeah, God knows exactly who's going to be saved. I said, Fred, I'm 21, 22 years old. I said, Fred, God knows exactly who's going to hell and who's not going to hell, don't he? He said, yeah, God knows exactly who they are. And I said, God can't be wrong about that, can he? I wasn't trying to trick him into nothing. I was trying to think about this in my mind. He said, no. I said, then the reason we're preaching then is so that those God knows going to believe, so they'll believe in the others. It don't matter. You know what he said to me? And I remember this phrase. I know, Walter, it's hard not to believe in predestination. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. Because he knew, and I knew, predestination was in the Bible. He used to call it Bible predestination. You could interpret that any way you want to. Yeah, he told me, Walter, I know it's hard not to believe in predestination. I thought, whoa. My mouth may have dropped open. I don't even remember. But look at this. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. But then it's even, there's another crescendo. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Now let me give you five thoughts really quickly because I need to move along. Think of it. God restrains all that does not serve his purpose. He restrains it. Again, you know, and you know this, but some people don't. They don't gather, they'll grasp this at all. God's not trying to herd people back in like a dog does sheep. Men are doing exactly what God Almighty purposed before the world began for them to do. God restrains all that does not serve his purpose. But think about it. God has the right and the might to strain. Because it says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Do you see? Not tries to restrain, not endeavors to restrain, not does a pretty good job at restraining. He restrains it. Period. Oh yeah, it does. It is. Period. Ain't it? Period. Think of this third thought. Men do not let God do anything. And yet you listen to the TV and you or radio or you listen to these preachers and they always let God do this, let God do that. And I'm thinking, you're so blind. Think about this. God has never, ever, ever tried to do anything. Never. Here's another one. How corrupt are we then, really, if God must restrain some things? Think what it would be like if God didn't restrain some things. I mean, we look at this country right now and we think, man, it's still under restraint. This is nothing of what we're capable of. Brothers and sisters, this is nothing of what I am capable of in my flesh. And that scares me. It makes me cry out, oh God, restrain me. But I don't want to just be restrained. I want to be constrained. The love of Christ constraineth. I don't want God just to be forcing me back now. I want him, when he turns me, and he has to do it. When he turns me, I want to say, thank you, God. Thank you. I praise your holy name. So let me try to kind of sum this up. We must rejoice in the truth of this verse. Because this verse declares our salvation. If this isn't true, if Psalm 76:10 is not true, then no one will really be saved. No one will be. This book is just fluff. It's like whistling through the cemetery. But that verse 10 declares ourselves. Why? Because surely the wrath of man shall pray. How can I say that? How can I say this speaks of our salvation? I can say that because the most hateful, the most wrathful words ever uttered, ever cried out were this: crucify him. Crucify him. It's one thing to say that to another fallen man. Some men deserve to be crucified among men. Didn't Paul say, if I've done anything worthy of death, so be it. And I'm not here trying to advocate for capital punishment. No, that's not the point. Men cried out, Crucify him. Crucify him. And you know what? Now, I didn't before. I hear my voice in there. I hear my voice in there. Thank God for forgiveness. I still hear my voice saying that today. But if I could, I'd go right up into heaven and say, God, it's all right. I'll take over. I want my way. And somebody says, preacher, you're not that bad. You're right. I'm worse than that. I'm worse than that. But aren't you glad for free, sovereign, safe, and grace? That's not what dominates your life now? But we know this. We know that Peter said that on the day of Pentecost, he said, you did exactly what God Almighty foreordained before to be. You crucified him, and God had foreordained it. I want to read Acts 4, the fourth chapter of Acts. This, I remember years ago, I don't remember the date or anything, of course, but I remember reading this one day, and it filled my soul with hope, because I have a God like this. Look at Acts 4, verse 23. Peter and John had been in prison. They're let go. And it says in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company. Let me tell you, anytime you've been in trouble, the best place to go be with is God's people. Are you hearing me? I know people get sick and can't be here. The best place for people to have been today, this evening, is right here. Right here. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, that's the people they went to see, that they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and all the people of Israel, were gathered together. That's wrath, is it not? But my brothers and sisters, I thank God for it. Yet it doesn't excuse at all. But what did they cry out? For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. The very wrath of men toward the Lord Jesus Christ is something God used to save our souls. And you think about this. Christ said, I could call, was it 10,000 legion? Is that what he said? Forgive me if I'm wrong. Legions of angels. He could have ended it anytime he wanted. Aren't you glad he didn't want to? You know what I say? Glory to our sovereign King, who surely makes the wrath of man to praise him, and the remainder of wrath he restrains. Heavenly Father, may these words be of encouragement and comfort. Strengthen us as we go about our walk in this world until you're pleased to take us home to be with you, or you come back to receive us. In Christ's name, amen. All right, I'm done.